Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Father Bob Penhalrick here at St. Brendan's. And Father Bob is the pastor here at St. Brendan's. Welcome, Father.
Glad to be here again.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, awaken us to encounter your Son, especially in the sacraments and in the great gift of the Eucharist. We ask, O Lord, that you bless us and open our hearts for a real desire to come to know you and to know your Son. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Father, the last time we were talking, you were mentioning some of the wonderful things going on here and sort of your vision and approach for the parish, one of kind of a welcoming to kind of bring people in so they can, what you even termed kind of pre-evangelization, to come and see so that in the life of the parish they can encounter the Lord.
Right.
What are ways in which St. Brendan's kind of enables people to encounter the Lord?
So we have... We've put together on the pastoral side what I think is a very strong team who actually are helping us to evangelize outwards to others. We have a middle school youth ministry as well as a high school ministry. Catholic Foundation helped us with a wonderful grant for the middle school position, and it's really taken off. At the opening this year, before COVID hit, we had 120 middle schoolers turn up, which was way more than we expected. And then our high school youth ministry has become very active and very engaged. And so with our youth, we're reaching out to our own parishioners, but also through them, reaching out to the local schools and to our teens elsewhere who are attracted to what we offer. And again, it's the opportunity to come and see. And then for our adults, we've always had a very successful Walking with Purpose program for our women. And we've had the traditional Knights of Columbus and Bible studies and RCIA and things like that. But what we've tried to do is to group them into women's ministries and men's ministries. So that, for example, the men's club, the Knights of Columbus, and That Man Is You, although they, in a sense, operate separately, they're all under one umbrella and they all talk to each other. So, you know, the Knights of Columbus are much more involved in social outreach. That Man Is You is much more involved in building faith. The Men's Club is very involved in socializing and being a community together. And so we bring the strands together and we get them to work together so they're not crossing paths, but they're encouraging guys to join any one or all of those groups depending on what their interest level is. Same happens on the women's side. So we have Walking with Purpose. We did have a women's group, but that became Walking with Purpose because it became so popular. And we're just starting to expand our women's ministry outreach as well now so that more opportunities will be given to women to actually gather and to grow together in fellowship.
And, you know, I think that's very beautiful because, you know, when we talk about missionary disciples and missionary discipleship, especially the formation of them, on the one hand, they need kind of this maybe intellectual formation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit more, but definitely like this sort of faith formation.
Right.
Kind of talk about. They need community. You know, as disciples, we really need that support network.
Right.
But then also we need an outlet for it and service. And I think that's a beautiful way to kind of frame men's ministry and to frame women's ministry to use those three elements because they're really essential to the life of a missionary disciple.
Absolutely. So we try to build on that. And then the same is with the school and the faith formation programs. Again, we don't want the school to be like the separate group from the parish. When we ran our capital campaign, we called it the One Campaign, partly because the intention was to connect the church to all the other buildings, and partly because it stood for our Navigator expansion, but also became it was the tagline was One Faith, One Family, One Future. And so we're very concerned that the life of the school isn't something that happens separately. It's integrated into parish life. And so the school principal, for example, is part of my parish leadership team because the school is a major element of missionary discipleship. Mm-hmm. And so we want to include everybody so that together we're actually moving forward and growing together in discipleship rather than doing our own thing in different corners.
Beautiful. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father Bob Penhalrick. We're here at his parish. He's the pastor of St. Brendan's in Hilliard, kind of a field trip for Conversations on Discipleship. This is one in a series of conversations we're going to have with Father Bob and some of his staff here at St. Brendan's. Father, you know, with COVID and everything that has happened lately, there really we see a need for the sacraments and for the sacraments to really be the center of our life. And it is in the sacraments that we primarily encounter Christ. And so first, I was wondering if you could share with us ways in which you have encountered Christ in the Eucharist and in the sacraments. And then maybe we can talk about how St. Brendan's and the celebration of the sacraments here help your parishioners to encounter Christ.
Absolutely. So for me, the Eucharist is in many ways what brought me into the church. I, as an evangelical, did not believe in the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist, but something was growing inside of me. And when I became an Anglo-Catholic, that kind of started to develop, and I started to learn that there were seven sacraments, and what are all these things? And for me, the culmination, and this all the way through my training as an Anglican minister, I kept thinking, I'm in the wrong place, I'm in the wrong place, I need to become Catholic. And just after ordination, when I was ordained an Anglican priest, at my very first celebration of the Eucharist, I held up the host and knew that I didn't believe it was Jesus. And I knew I couldn't live without Jesus. So with great respect to all of them and their personal beliefs, it's not an attack on them in any way, but I just knew I had to become Catholic. And within 6 months, I had become Catholic and was able to receive the Lord. And as time went on and my experience of the other sacraments grew, I started again. The Eucharist is the foundation for me of absolutely everything, which is why we're starting to build adoration here. We want to build it to perpetual adoration. We built an adoration chapel for that purpose. And but the other sacraments tie in so beautifully to those sacraments of healing, reconciliation, and anointing, which we're so privileged to share with people, especially COVID patients at the moment. It's very moving to give last rites to somebody who is a COVID patient. But also that the other sacraments of initiation and helping people to discover what their baptism actually means and how they should grow in that, and helping our eighth graders realize confirmation is a rite of passage not to end something but to begin a beautiful journey with the Lord in a new way. These have all kind of been touch points for me in living out the gospel.
Do you, maybe you can recall when you first went to adoration in a Catholic church? And
yes.
Maybe, because I almost think of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and her experience as an Anglican, as an Episcopalian, and how coming into the presence of Christ, especially in adoration, really kind of moved her and ultimately led to her conversion.
Yes, I first experienced adoration, I think as an Anglican layman, I went to a day event at the local Catholic church. And it was an interesting place because half of it was a social hall, and they pulled the wall back, and then there was the church. And we were invited to stay for the celebration of the Eucharist that night for Mass. But they had adoration beforehand. I can remember sitting there and just this incredible sense of peace and calm coming over me. And what I then noticed every time I went, when I moved to London, there are lots of Catholic churches. So, you know, I might be walking down a road and I would pop into a Catholic church. And there was always a sense of the real presence of Jesus there, which I just didn't feel in my own community, a tangible, objective presence. And so that began to grow on me, and I started to discover the joy of adoration and just sitting with the Lord, you know, and not necessarily bending Jesus' ear with, you know, all my problems or joys even, but just being with him, that sense of just being with the Lord and letting the Lord just wash all over you and love you is such a beautiful experience.
Here at St. Brendan's, you mentioned that you've just built an adoration chapel.
Yes.
How does adoration of the Blessed Sacrament kind of fall into your pastoral vision here for the parish?
Oh, it's very much at the heart of our pastoral vision. So celebration of the sacraments And adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, for me, are like the foundations on which everything else will build. We have to be a community of prayer before we can really go out and serve and evangelize, because unless we allow the Lord to soak into us, what we're giving is very little. If we allow the Lord to soak into us, what we're giving is a great deal. And therefore, our ability to be effective in evangelization is much more. And so that's very much at the heart of what I want us to do. St. Brendan's is a great parish. We have lots of young families. So after Mass on Sundays, it can be very noisy when we have 600 or 700 people at church. And that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that. But I wanted there to be a place where parishioners could go and pray in silence. And so, you know, we're just starting out. We don't expose the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel yet because of COVID. When we get to that, but even now, people can go in and pray. And it's very clear on the doors that when you pass these doors, we keep a sacred silence, because this is the place where you just sit and be with Jesus rather than chat and talk with our neighbor. And so that's a very new experience for some people. They think that signs mean they're not allowed to go in. And I always have to remind them, I actually want you to go in. But when you get in there, don't sit and chat. I mean, just look at the beautiful stained glass. Look at the beautiful icons. Most of all, look at the large, beautiful tabernacle, which you can't miss is a tabernacle, and which really helps us to focus on Jesus.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Father.
A pleasure.
It's been great to have you. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship on location here at St. Brendan's in Hilliard. And with me today has been Father Bob Penhalrick, the pastor here. Until next time, peace and all good.